الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. As to what follows, we the Muslims have been going over this book known as Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah li Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah or Ibn Taymiyyah with the Sharh of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. This book, or the concept of this book, was based on a letter which Shaykh al-Islam received from a particular place known as Wasit, and from there it became the Wasitiyah. Like, for example, somebody asks you from Jeddah, so you call it Ar-Risala Al-Jaddiyah, okay, the letter of Jeddah. That's what is intended. And it's the Aqidah because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaykum salam, had taught his Sahaba what to believe concerning Allah's names and attributes. He received revelation, the Quran, and he would also give him narrations which were also inspired by Allah. And through the Quran and the Sunnah, the Muslims identified their master. They knew who Allah was. There were never any discussions on the names and attributes of Allah between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. There were never any philosophical arguments. It was pure and sound. An ayah would be revealed. Example, Allah telling Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ. What prevented you, Allah said to Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating to He whom I created with both of my hands? Don't imagine no hands. When that ayah was revealed, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ didn't stop and say, by the way, Allah doesn't mean hands here. He means power. He means bounty. He means whatever. The Sahaba didn't say, O Messenger of Allah, does Allah mean hands? Or does He mean something else? And every time an ayah would be revealed dealing with one of these names or attributes of Allah, never ever did the Sahaba have any inquiries as to what is intended. They accepted it face value. That's what the ayah says. That's what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said in the narrations. They accepted. Now, after the passage of these righteous generations, when the Muslim Ummah started to spread into the world and many people started entering into Islam, those who came into Islam from a Christian background, from other backgrounds, brought with them their philosophical understanding of God. And with that, they tried to apply these philosophies on the Islamic texts. Result was confusion. Result was people saying, no, you cannot say Allah has hands. Because if you say that Allah has hands, that means that Allah is like His creation. And we all believe that Allah is not like His creation. Because of this extreme, they went into the extent of denying all of the ayat and all of the ahadith which dealt with the names and attributes of Allah. So we had the Ash'arites and the Mu'tazilites and the Jahmites. These are all groups that branched off the mainstream Islam, each implementing their brains and their intellect upon the textual evidences. Whatever made sense to them, they accept. Whatever didn't make sense to them, they delete it. Or they distorted the meaning. Or they twisted the meaning. Or they denied the meaning. Consequently, the scholars whom the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said that they shall remain a group of my ummah upon the truth, they will not be affected by those who oppose them or those who try to go against them until the day of judgment. There will be a group of Muslims who will convey the pure teachings of Islam without any distortions. Who are those? The scholars. Like who? Who believed in what we would be learning? Just to give you a brief. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. If you want to speak about the Imam, the Sahaba, we already agree about the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. They have unanimously agreed on what we would be learning, inshallah. The Sahaba, Tabi'een, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Bayhaqi, all these names you've heard, you know, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, Imam al-Dhahabi, these are, you know, renowned, famous scholars, all of them agreed on these issues. Who didn't agree? Some random individuals here and there, and the general masses of Muslims who are uneducated concerning the Aqidah. Not our fault, because usually the countries we come from paid no attention to that. You learn Tajweed, khalas, you're a good Muslim. But to teach us the actual belief system is either not done or it is taught in an incorrect manner based on the school of thought, the Aqidah school of thought which is prevalent in our hometowns. This is very important to understand. So they believe the following. We believe in everything that Allah described Himself within the Quran. And we believe in everything that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ described Allah with in the Sunnah. And we do so without denying anything, without distorting the meaning, without misinterpreting the ayat, and without likening Allah to His creation. This is the last part, is very fundamental. You know, when we speak that Allah has a face or Allah has hands, we have never seen anything like Allah. So the image that one has is falsehood. Because Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto Him. And the one that you probably know, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Does anyone know what that means? What does that ayah mean? Let me get a rough translation from anyone here. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. You recite it very often.
There is none like unto Him.
There is none co-equal to Him. You know, in Christianity they have the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. They're co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. In Islam, there's nothing co-equal to Allah, nothing like Allah. So, when Allah speaks about Himself, and He says that He has hands, you have no right to imagine anything, and for sure you cannot be imagining a human being, because there's nothing like Allah. And the word hands is generic. For example, a chair, like arms, let's say, for example, arms. Let me just give you a classical example. A chair has arms, and a table has arms, and an elephant, for example, has arms, and an ant has arms, and we have arms. What is the commonality between all these arms? The word arms.
Yeah.
The essence is nothing the same. What the arms of a chair, the front, you know, legs, if you want to call them, whatever, are nothing like what we understand in others, except the name. So this is important. If we have such a vast difference in the essence of a substance among the creation, even though we share the name, then what about that with the Creator? It is even more so. It is even greater. So we believe in what Allah said, because Allah said in the Quran to Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating from that, from He who I created with both of my hands? In the Arabic language, yaday is dual for yad, which is a hand, two hands. I can't deny it, because Allah said this Quran guides, is a guidance. And if Allah wanted to tell us that there's another meaning intended, He would have used other words. Or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have explained that what is intended is not that, it's something else. Never ever did that happen. So then people came later on with their philosophies and say, no, you cannot say this and you cannot say that, and Allah is not above His creation, Allah is not above His throne, and they denied everything in the Quran and the Sunnah, so much so that the Aqidah was washed away. And today there's much confusion among the Muslims because of that. We had been dealing in this book, now we are at page 266. That's a lot. Keeping in mind that I usually read every single word, usually, maybe 98% of the time, unless there are some grammatical rules that are too complicated to discuss, then I translate word for word to English. That's a lot of girgir that I've been doing, you know, in the past month, a couple of years now. So you have missed a lot if you come in here for the first time, but that's fine. It can always be made up, inshallah ta'ala. But I want you to get that understanding, because we are in an advanced stage. And we will learn. Keep in mind, every time you hear something which your mind has a problem with, remember that do not try to imagine Allah as a human being. If you do so, you will fail. If when you hear face, you can't help but think of a human being face, the problem is with the thinking, not with the textual evidences. Because the fact that Allah has a face and we have a face, there's nothing similar between, there's no similarity whatsoever except the title face. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of the creation, He is unlike His creation. But we don't deny what Allah said about Himself in the Quran, nor do we accuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of concealing information and hiding it from the people by not explaining what needed to be explained. Because he alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would explain what needed to be explained. These things, they left them as they are, so we believe in them as they are. That's what it is. Tayyib. Now, in the last session, we were dealing with the quality of what, ya jama'ah? For... Dahik. Dahik, what does that mean in English? Laughter. That Allah Azza wa Jal laughs in a manner which befits His greatness and His majesty. And the evidence which we mentioned is the authentic narration that Allah Azza wa Jal laughs at two men, one of them killing the other. However, both of them end up in paradise. Two people, one kills the other, but both end up in paradise. Why? Because we said let's say there was a war between Muslims and non-Muslims, and a non-Muslim killed a Muslim. The Muslim who died is what? Shaheed. Where is he going? To Jannah. The one who killed him, eventually Allah guided him to Islam, and he also died and entered Jannah. Both the killer and the killed wound up in Jannah. You see the irony in the situation. And we said a classical example of that is Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the early stages, he was a warrior against Islam and Muslims. He was an enemy of Islam. And actually the Muslims were defeated in the battle of what? Uhud, because of Khalid ibn al-Walid. Tactics, war tactics. Soon enough afterwards, he became a Muslim, and then he fought for the Muslims and he died as a Muslim. And you know, the Sahaba, all of them are going where? All of them are going to Jannah. So he may have killed a Muslim before, who will go to Jannah, and he will go to Jannah. So Allah Azza wa Jal laughs at that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does what He wills. No one can come and say, no, why? What do you mean Allah laughs? The Akhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you, you say no. You see that? You see the mentality? The Messenger of Allah said this to the Sahaba. No one told him, what do you mean? What do you mean, O Messenger of Allah, by laughing? Does that mean he's happy? Does it mean that it's pleasure of Allah, Allah will reward them? No. No such conversation. They heard, they said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen, we're بِخَلَاص. It's when people want to impose their philosophy that they start saying, what do you mean? How? You don't ask. You don't ask how Allah does something. You have no idea. If Allah wanted us to know, it would have been revealed. It wasn't revealed, you don't need to know. Do you deny though? You can't? You cannot belie the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most eloquent, the most well-versed in speech, the one who intended guidance for all of us. He wouldn't say anything which will lead us astray. And better yet, Allah's speech, the Qur'an, could never be means of leading us astray. And these are all in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. طيب. فالجواب now, where were we, عبد المجيد؟ فالجواب أنا أقول نعم. Now, the Sheikh said, let's say someone, some intellectual, or what he thinks is an intellectual, he thinks of himself as an intellectual, he says, المراد بالضحك الرضا. What is intended by laughter is Allah being pleased. Okay? That's safer to them. That's safer. Allah is being pleased. No ما في مشكلة. We have an ayah in the Quran, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Pleasure is fine. I will accept that. But laughter, no, I cannot. You have Muslims who believe that by the way. They refuse to say that Allah laughs. Even though the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. لأن الإنسان إذا رضي عن الشيء سر به وضحك. They say because if a human being is pleased with something, it brings him delight, so he laughs. والمراد بالرضا الثواب أو إرادة الثواب. Or they say, no, what is intended by Allah being pleased is not also pleasure. Rather, it is Allah rewarding someone or intending to reward someone. كما قال ذلك أهل التعطيل. This is what the people of تعطيل, those who deny the meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah, the apparent meanings, this is what they claim. So they say what is intended by laughter is pleasure. And further, because they also have a problem with pleasure, some of them, what is intended by pleasure is what? Allah rewarding you. Meaning Allah will reward the one who killed and the one who was killed. Now, is that acceptable that the hadith uses the expression ضحك, laughter, and then you say no, what is intended is رضا, no, actually what is intended is reward, ثواب. Do we have the right to change the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He uses a particular expression. We say no, you don't know any better, take this expression out, here's what is intended. Amazing. This is the scary part, that people wind up rejecting the Quran and the Sunnah because of their lack of understanding of the principle of there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing like Allah. طيب فالجواب نقول هذا تحريف للكلمة عن مواضعه. The Shaykh said the answer, we say this is twisting the meaning. This is misinterpreting the meaning, not according to the texts, as the Jews used to do. فَمَا الَّذِي أَدْرَاكُمْ أَنَّ الْمُرَاضَ بِرِضَ الثَّوَابُ. Who informed you that what is intended, barakallahu fiqh, who informed you that what is intended by rida is reward? Who told you that? On what basis are you speaking on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَأَنْتُمُ الْآنْ قُلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ مِنْ وَجَيْنَ. When you claim that what is intended by rida is reward, what is intended by Allah being pleased is Allah rewarding you, you have spoken about Allah without knowledge from two different angles. First, صَرَفْتُمُ النَّصَّ عَنْ ظَاهِرِهِ بِلَا عِلْمٍ. You took away the meaning, the apparent meaning, into something else without any evidence. You denied the apparent meaning of the text without any evidence. And we can give you a worldly example. I say, for example, next week, everyone should come on time. Everyone should come on time. Subliminal messages. Someone gets up, okay, and says, he means by that 7:30. And I gave him no authority to speak on my behalf and explain what I intended. Does he have the right to say that? Did he ask for my approval? Does he know what I intend? I didn't intend 7:30. I meant to come on time, Maghrib time. For someone to stand up and say, no, Abu Mus'ab doesn't mean that, he means 7:30, without me giving him any authorization, this is speaking on my behalf without knowledge. And this is what the people are doing. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, Allah does something, These people say, no, it's something else. That who allowed you to speak about Allah without knowledge? On what basis are you saying, no, what is intended is 7:30 and not coming on time? That's the number one. They're going off the path by speaking about Allah without knowledge through what? Through changing the apparent meaning of the text and saying that this, you know, it doesn't mean that. الثاني أثبتتم له معنى خلاف الظاهر بلا علم. Secondly, you affirm the meaning in opposition to the apparent meaning without any knowledge. First you said Abu Mus'ab doesn't mean come on time. Second you said he means to come at 7:30. First you denied what my intention was without me authorizing that. Second, you affirmed another time other than the time that I intended without knowledge. Two problems. And they're doing this trying to what? Trying to play it safe. They're thinking in their mind, okay, Allah is not like us, and so we laugh. If we say that Allah laughs, that means Allah is like us, so we deny laughter. Take it out. So we can be safe. You see the idea that they're thinking? What were they supposed to do was, Allah laughs in a manner befitting Allah's greatness. How? I don't know, and I don't want to know. Because Allah didn't reveal it to me. It's something that I can never grasp. Because no one has seen Allah, and no one has seen anything like Allah. That's very important. What Allah says, there's nothing like Allah, meaning you have to keep in your mind, you haven't seen anything like the Creator. So you don't have any pre-existing images on which you build the image. Nothing. But we accept the apparent meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah. ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لَهُمْ Then we say to them, الْإِرَادَةَ إِذَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّهَا ثَابِتَةٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَأَنَّهُ تَنْتَقِدُ قَاعِدَتُكُمْ We say to the Mu'attila, those who deny, if you affirm irada, they're saying what is intended by Allah laughing is Allah being pleased. Furthermore, they say what is intended by Allah being pleased, Allah intending to reward someone. The Shaykh said, if you say that irada is a quality of Allah, intent, Allah has the intention to do something, then you have negated your own principles. You have negated your own principles by affirming the irada for Allah. لِأَنَّ لِلْإِنسَانِ irada, because a human being has an intent. See how amazing it is? Let me explain. These people, they believe in only like 7 attributes of Allah. Okay? Life and knowledge and, you know, 7 of them. All the rest which we are dealing with, they deny. They deny. Now, among the ones that they believe in is what? Irada. Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ, right? فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ He does whatever He wills, whatever He intends, He does. Now their initial rejection of laughter is what? That human beings laugh. So if you say that Allah laughs, you're making Allah like the human beings, so no laughter. But they say what? But we believe Allah has the intent to reward. Then the Shaykh said, okay, don't you have an intention? So you're back in the same shoes. You have an intention, Allah has an intention, so why are you accepting intent and not accepting laughter? Even though we have intent, Allah has intent, we laugh and Allah laughs. So now they are actually going around in circle. You see? They wanted to reject something, affirm something. The thing they affirmed actually backfired. Because they're back in the same loophole, which is what? You intend, and Allah intends. If your idea that you want to free Allah, you don't want to free Him from resembling the creation in any way, shape or form, then now you have to deny intent also. Because you have an intent. Then you wind up with no God. Because you have a life. They say Allah cannot have a life because we have a life, then no life for Allah. Knowledge, we have knowledge, Allah have no knowledge for Allah because we have knowledge, no, then you don't have a God anymore. You see how dangerous it is? And this is what they in fact wind up doing. They fell into the trap which they dig themselves. Why? Because they did not accept the Quran and the Sunnah according to the apparent meaning of the textual evidences and Allah al-Musta'an. The Shaykh said, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ Amongst you are those who want the dunya, who intend to get the dunya, and amongst you are those who intend to get the life to come. So Allah affirmed irada for ourselves. Surah Al-Imran verse 152 or ayah 152. فَلِلْإِنسَانِ إِرَادَةِ بَلْ لِلْجِدَارِ إِرَادَةِ. We have an intent and will, nay, but the wall has an intent and will. Who knows the evidence? Don't look in the book if you have the book. The wall. You know the wall? This is the wall, I guess. Does it have an intent? It's a little quiz. You can give me a wrong answer.
Yes. Yes.
Who said yes? Do you know the evidence? Who knows the evidence? You read it every Friday. You read it every Friday. Surah Al-Kahf?
Yes.
What happened with Musa and Al-Khidr? حتى إذا no before أيوة إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه. And when they went to the town, a particular town, and they requested that the people host them and give them some food, they refused. Then they found a wall. Now look at the word يريد. Who wants to fall? So Musa, Khidr Afwan, he rectified it. So what did Allah use for the wall? Yurid. Now earlier in the ayah, at first Allah, we said fa'alu lima yurid. And then in the ayah, minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah, jidarun yuridu an yanqad. So Allah affirmed irada, will or intent to human beings, even a wall, and himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. But are these wills the same? No. Is our will like the will of the wall? If there's a huge difference between our will and the will of the wall, then what about the difference between our will and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Huge difference. So we believe with this difference, we don't deny. You see the point? Wonderful. بَلِّ الْجِدَارِ إِرَادَ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فَوَجَدَا فِيهَا جِدَارًا يريد أن ينقض. سورة الكهف verse 77, آية 77. فأنتم إما أن تنفوا الإرادة عن الله عز وجل كما نفيتم ما نفيتم من الصفات, وإما أن تثبتوا لله عز وجل ما أثبته لنفسه وإن كان للمخلوق نظيره في الاسم لا في الحقيقة. So now the Sheikh cornered them. He said either you will deny even intent as you denied the rest of the attributes of Allah, or you will affirm them as you affirm the rest of them. However, even if the creation have some aspect of it by name, not by essence. Even if the creation share, for example, the quality of life. Don't you have a life? Don't you have a life? Doesn't Allah have a life? Now, what is the commonality between our life and Allah's lives?
Name.
Our life is created. Allah's life is not. Our life will come to an end. It will go through stages. Allah's life is eternal. So what is common is life. The word life. The essence is not the same. Nothing the same. So the same way we accept that Allah has a life, not like our lives. Allah has knowledge, not like our limited knowledge. Allah knows everything, everywhere at the same time. Right? Allah has a will, not like our will. Similarly, Allah has a face, not like our face. He has hands, not like our hands. Why? Because all of them came from the same source. All of them are from the Quran and the Sunnah. So why would we accept some and reject some? On what basis? We can't. Either you accept everything or you reject everything. If you want to say that Allah is not like His creation, then no life, no knowledge, nothing. Either you claim that we don't have them or you claim Allah doesn't have them. If you affirm some, you have to affirm the rest. But what is the ideology on which we base this? That there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. There's nothing like Allah, so I don't have any imagery. As long as we don't have any imagery. Now, be careful now, because who went to extremes in that? The Christians. The Christians' misinterpretation of the text made people draw God. They drew an old man with a big beard. Okay, he's muscular, wearing no shirt. This is in the Catholic, you know, among the Catholic Christians, and they claim that this is God, the Father, who gave life to Adam, you know, the son, so on and so forth. You see? Now they went to the extreme of depicting the God in human images. This is shirk. This is major shirk. A'udhu billah. Subhanallah, Allah, like a man. Allah is the creator of man. There's nothing like him. And the fact that we share the names of some qualities does not necessitate that the essence is the same. And that has already been understood and established. طيب. The Shaykh said, والفائدة المسلكية من هذا الحديث هو أننا إذا علمنا أن الله عز وجل يضحك فإننا نرجو منه كل خير. He said, what is the practical benefit from knowing this quality that Allah laughs? He says, if we know that our master laughs, then we can expect all goodness from him. You know, Allah is so merciful, so loving, that he laughs. You know, even when you read the Fatiha, it begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi, Rabbil Alameen is a threat. Maybe most of you never thought of it this way. Alhamdulillahi, Rabbil Alameen is a threat. Allah praised himself. He said, then the master, the Lord of everything. Meaning, we're all helpless creation. You're a helpless creature. You know, like, you see the chicks, you know, the chicken, when it has the chick, you know how helpless he is? He can barely walk around, barely peck some, you know, food from the ground. How helpless he looks, especially when newly born. This is our condition. Allah is Rabbil Alameen. Meaning, you don't control your life, you don't control your death, you don't control your fulus, you don't control your breath, you don't control your heartbeat, you have zero control. Allah is Rabbil Alameen. And if Allah willed, his mastery over his creation could have been that of dictatorship. Could have been that of wrong oppression. Right? If Allah willed, he would throw everyone in Jahannam. Can anyone say anything? Who are you going to complain to? The court? You see the point? Who are you going to complain to? Who will defend you? No one. You belong to Allah. But this is not the case. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But what kind of lordship is it? It is the lordship of the most gracious, the most merciful. So you don't have to worry about being wrong, being oppressed. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتَهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah says, O my slaves, I have made oppression forbidden upon myself. SubhanAllah, he doesn't have to do it. But that's Allah's mercy. And I made it forbidden amongst you, so do not wrong and oppress one another. You see the point then? So then, the benefit is that Allah laughs. Alhamdulillah. We hope that inshallah we will receive some mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ رَجُلُ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَوَ يَضْحَكُ رَبَّنَا قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ لَنْ نَعْدَمْ مِنْ رَبٍّ يَضْحَكُ خَيْرًا. So sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah laughs. He told him yes. He said, then we will not be destroyed if we have a master that laughs. Alhamdulillah. We will not be destroyed inshallah ta'ala. Of course we need to make some effort. The Shaykh said, إِذَا عَلِمْنَا ذَلِكَ انفتح لنا الأمل في كل خير. If we know this, then the door of hope becomes open to us. لأن هناك فرق بين إنسان عبوس لا يكاد يرى ضاحكا وبين إنسان يضحك. Because even among creation, there's a huge difference between someone who's always frowning, who is never seen laughing, and someone who smiles and laughs. You know, if your boss at work, he was one of these people, you know, from the time he comes in until the time he leaves, he's always upset. What are you doing? Hello, baba, you know. Nowadays, you have many of these. He doesn't smile, you know, in the Lebanese proverbs, they say he doesn't even smile to a hot, warm loaf of bread. You know when you see a nice loaf of bread, you know, a fresh bread, you know, you just feel like smiling like it's... He said even if you present to him some, you know, nice looking thing, you know, they cannot smile to anything. And versus a boss who, when you come in the morning, Salaamu Alaikum, how are you today? How would you feel? You know, you say, oh mashallah, I'm ready to work right now. Now if this is a human being, him smiling or otherwise affects your mentality in many different ways. So then what about when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then وقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دائم البشر كثير التبسم عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be ever giving the people glad tidings, and he used to be among those who smiled abundantly صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب, the fourth narration, الحديث الرابع, في إثبات العجب وصفات أخرى. Now here is there's a little technicality here, because the actual authentic narration is ضحك. ضحك ربنا من قنوط عباده وقرب غياره وقرب غياره ينظر إليكم أزلين قنطين فيظل يضحك يعلم أن فرجكم قريب حديث حسن. Allah Azza wa Jal laughs at the state of despair of his slaves, knowing that the change is soon to come. يعني, you go to work and you get the information that you have been fired. You lost your job. Now what happens to you? You go home and you despair. Start feeling bad, and you're feeling horrible, and you feel that the situation will not change. Your life has been destroyed. All these start piling up in your mind naturally, and Allah laughs at the state of the servant while he reaches this point, while Allah knows that the change is soon to come. It's not going to be like this for some time, but this is a trial period. He looks at you. Azaleen Qanithin, he looks at you instead of despair and grief and sadness, and he remains laughing, knowing that your outlet, your solution will be coming soon. Knowing that the change will be coming soon. And usually that's what happens. After a few weeks, somebody calls you, hey, we're looking for someone to work for us, blah, blah, blah. Better salary, better job, better everything. Say, Alhamdulillah, I'm so glad I got fired 2 weeks ago. But if we told you that the day you got fired, you're not going to have it. Say, brother, come on, I lost my job. There could be nothing good in this. But see, this is the condition of the children of Adam. And Allah Azza wa Jal is, He laughs at that. Now, I will avoid doing this one, because the hadith actually mentions ضحك. And so I will go down to that particularly. والغير اسم جمع غيره كطير اسم جمع طيرة وهي اسم بمعنى التغيير. These are all grammatical explanations. I already gave you the translation. فذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حال الإنسان وحال قلبه, حاله أنه واقع في شدة وقلبه قانط يائس مستبعد للفرج. So the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم described the condition of the human being, the condition of his heart, how he's in despair, he's in distress, and his heart is feeling the same. He does not see the solution coming anytime soon. But the solution is actually on its way. فيظل يضحك يظل يضحك في هذه الحالة عجيبة الغريبة كيف تقنط من رحمة أرحم الراحمين الذي يقول لشيء كن فيكون. So Allah remains laughing at this amazing condition of the human being, the Muslim. Why? How do you despair from the mercy of the most merciful of those who are merciful? The one who says to something, be, and it is. Once Allah wants to change your condition, be, and it's changed. So how do you despair from the mercy of Allah? So then we never despair from the mercy of Allah. No matter what the situation is, we continue to have hope. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, very important ayat. Perhaps you may hate something and it is good for you. And perhaps you may love something and it is bad for you. Verily Allah knows and you know not. Maybe what appears to be evil is actually good, and what appears to be good is actually evil. You may see a delicious cake and you say to yourself, no way, this is no good. This is as good as it gets. And there's poison inside. You eat that cake, you're gone. And you may be given some medicine and it tastes foul and you can hardly swallow it. And you say there's no good in this medicine, but the cure is within. So the perception then we have is that we don't know the outcome of things. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who knows. يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ فَرَجَكُمْ قَرِيبٌ أَيْ زَوَالُ شِدَّتِكُمْ قَرِيبٌ. Allah knows that the alleviation of your distress is soon, is bound to happen. في هذا الحديث عدة صفات. أولا العجب. The first quality is amazement. لقوله عجب ربنا أو عجب ربنا من قنوط عباده. Again the حديث mentions ضحك. And it does not mention عجب. So I will skip that part particularly and intentionally. والفائدة المسلكية في هذا أن الإنسان إذا علم ذلك من الله سبحانه وتعالى حذر من هذا الأمر وهو القنوط من رحمة الله. ولهذا كان القنوط من رحمة الله من الكبائر. Okay. What is the practical benefit from knowing this hadith? We know then that if we know that, we will be careful of despairing from Allah's mercy. Because despairing from Allah's mercy is from the major sins. Now, those who were attending the Friday class, what is the difference between قنوط and قنوط? Well, let's give the people who were not here a chance. Now, there are two words. Very nice pen. There are two words. قنوط and قنوط. Both are mentioned in the Quran. What is the difference between them? Who knows? Who knows one of them at least? Anyone? Which one is this? With the ta. How would we say it correctly with the tajweed? Kunuta. Right? There's a qalqala on the ta. Kunuta. You see how strong that is? Okay. The other one, and it means what? Despair. To lose hope. Qanata. Yani he lost hope in that which he was waiting for. خلاص, he can't wait anymore. He's lost all hope. This is قنوط وضطاء. The other one, قنوط. The ta is very soft. Which means what, Sheikh Abdul Majid?
Qanitin. Standing in prayer.
It means continuous submission and humbleness before Allah. See the huge difference? Someone who is constantly in the state of submission, submissiveness and surrendering to Allah. And that's what Allah says, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. Maintain the salawat and specifically the middle prayer, the Salatul Asr, and stand before Allah with qunut, not qunut. In the dua of witr, what do you do? Dua al qunut, not qunut. There's a difference between the two now. So qunut is despairing from Allah's mercy, and it is a big haram, big no-no that you despair from Allah's mercy. قال الله تعالى قال ومن يقنط من رحمة ربه إلا الضالون. And he said, who despairs from Allah's mercy except those who are misguided? The only people who will say, no, Allah will never forgive me, are the misguided people. A believer always has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال تعالى ولا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. Again, this was I believe Yaqub who said this to his children. Then do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Again, verily none despairs from Allah's mercy except the disbelieving people. Big sin. For you to say, I've destroyed, I'm doomed, I've been disobeying Allah all my life, I'm up to no good, blah blah blah. No. A Muslim doesn't have this attitude. A Muslim says, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi, I seek Allah's forgiveness, I turn to Him in repentance, and we change our ways. We never feel that Allah will not forgive. It's not allowed. Subhanallah, it is haram for you to believe that Allah will not forgive you. Isn't that beautiful? Otherwise we will probably lose from the beginning. But Allah is merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. The Shaykh said, فَالْقُنُوطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتِبْعَادُ الرَّحْمَةِ مِنْ كَبَائِرُ الذُّنُوبِ. Then despairing from the mercy of Allah, and assuming that mercy, you know, you're deprived of it, is from the most major of sins. وَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يُحْسِنَ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ. And it is incumbent on the person, on a human being, to assume the best about his master. إِذَا إِنْ دَعَاهِ. If you supplicate to him, أَحْسِنَ الظَّنْ بِهِ بِأَنَّهُ سَيُجِيبُ. If you supplicate to Him, then have a good assumption that Allah shall give you what you have asked for. وَأَن تَعْبَدَ لَهُ بِمُقْتَدَى شَرْعِهِ and that He is worshipped per the legislation which He has sent down. فَلْيُحْسِنَ الظَّنْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَوْفَ يَقْبَلَ مِنْ And if you worship Allah per the deen, per the instructions that you receive from Him, then assume that Allah will accept from you. Have the good assumption. Now, you don't make any conclusive statements, right? Which is a major error that some fall into. Well, brother, you know, I've done Hajj and Umrah, and you know, I've been praying that, okay, brother, no problem. But do you know whether Allah accepted your deeds or not? What did Ibn Umar say? Who knows what Ibn Umar said concerning this thought? He said his famous statement. This is Ibn Umar. You know Ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, one of the scholars of the Sahaba, the most keen on following the Sunnah. He said, and the Prophet ﷺ called him Rajulun Salih. This is a righteous man. He said, if I knew that Allah accepted only two rak'at from me, I would depend on them. Because Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Verily Allah accepts the deeds of the righteous only. So he said, if Allah accepts two rak'ah, meaning I am from the muttaqeen. If I'm from the muttaqeen, I can depend on these two rak'ahs, I will be saved. Because if you're from the people of taqwa, you're going to Jannah. But Ibn Umar couldn't say that. He said, if I knew that Allah accepted two rak'ahs, I would then, you know, conditional. Then I would depend on them. He did not say, oh, I'm Ibn Umar, man, you know who I am? I'm the big sheikh. But he didn't feel this way. Now some of us, you know, are way behind him, but we may feel this way because of some acts of worship that we're doing here and there. Allah knows whether they are accepted or not. But still, what do we assume? What do we hope? Inshallah, Allah will accept. We assume good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't say Allah will not accept. We hope that Allah azza wa jal will accept our deeds. طيب فليحسن الظن وإن وقعت به شدة فليحسن الظن بأن الله سوف يزيلها لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا And if some calamity befalls you, then assume good that Allah shall remove it. Why? Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us and know that victory comes with patience. Victory comes with patience. And the removal of afflictions comes, وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجْ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ And with afflictions comes the alleviation of them. Yani once the problem comes, then expect afterwards that it will go away. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا And that with every difficulty comes a lot of ease. By the way, this is from the miracles of the language of the Quran. إِنَّ مَعَ الْأَلِفْلَامِ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا Whenever something comes with alif lam, it means, you know, you're identifying a particular thing. In English, it's like the school. When you say the school, do you mean a million schools or one school? One school that I and you know about. So whenever you use the article, the, or alif lam here, you know, alif lam al-ta'rif, then you are specifying something. It's something particular. However, when it, the word comes without, if I say school or schools, that means abundant, there are a billion schools. So in other words, the ayah says, verily, let's say with every school comes, you know, a million principles. Something like that. With every difficulty comes yusra. Not ma'al usri al-yusr. Not with every difficulty there's one ease. With every one difficulty there is abundance of ease. Subhanallah. بل قال الله تعالى rather Allah said فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا twice ولن يغلب عسر يسرين and no difficulty will be able to overcome two abundant eases it's impossible two عسر ألف لام إن مع العسر يسرا فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر both are العسر يسرا which is already abundant is mentioned twice How can two little difficulties overcome abundance and abundance of ease? It is impossible. كما يروى عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه. As it is narrated from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. And let's see here. I believe we will stop at this particular stage. The next hadith is a very important hadith, and it's in Bukhari and Muslim. Inshallah, I will leave it as a surprise for those of you who don't have the book, so you will know what we will be discussing inshallah ta'ala next week. So with this we will stop the lesson. I'll give you a few minutes to ask any questions in case there's any confusion about anything you heard today. Otherwise, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Any questions? Does everyone here who came for the first time understand the foundation that I explained in the beginning? Is it disturbing you in any way? Do you feel uneasy about it? You know, it's difficult to swallow the fact that Allah has a face and Allah has a hand, or is that something that you're fine with? Because I know that, you know, when I heard it for the first time, you know, I was about to run away. Now I'm going to the dars, and the Shaykh starts saying, you know, this about Allah. I said, what is this guy talking about, man? And you know, I was like, I'm looking around me like, where am I? What are these people? You know, I started scratching my head like, okay, maybe I shouldn't come to this masjid anymore. It was shocking to me, because we were not taught this back, you know, in my hometown. We were taught something actually quite opposite. So it was shocking to me personally when I first heard it. However, when I started attending the durus, Allah alhamdulillah allowed me to continue to attend the durus, then it was just making so much sense. It just sounded so logical, so normal, that I realized that I have been misinformed at a younger stage. Does anyone feel today the way I felt when I first attended the dars? Or everybody's fine with this, mashallah?
I tell you something, that you never think that deep in this perspective.
Sah. Yeah, usually this is...
This is like, you know, you said love, and we, being non-Arabic speaking, we take it for granted, and we don't go into the depth of it.
Sah.
So when you explain to it, you ease my feeling.
Good, good. Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, that's the issue of the... But see, if you notice, akhi, you missed, of course, the beginning. All this will actually enhance our iman. The objective, when we start knowing who Allah is, because at the end of the day, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that Allah has 99 names. Allah has more, but the ones which we have been given are 99. Whoever encompasses them will enter Jannah. And the only way to do so is by knowing who Allah is. And how do you know who Allah is? By learning the ayat and the narrations which deal with that. Which is what the Sahaba did, what the ulama did. I mean, the ulama, the scholars have authored books on only these topics. The topic of their belief system on the names and attributes of Allah. Because it is one of the most controversial ones in the Ummah today. It's the one that there's the most misunderstanding. I mean, the one about shirk, the uluhiyah, you know, worshipping dead people in the graves, is also, you know, prevalent. But, I mean, the evidences are clear. I mean, no one is excused to worship, you know, Abdul Qadir al-Jilani or otherwise. There's no excuse. Because you don't have anything that supports you in the Quran and the Sunnah. These ones, they can be misinterpreted. So the problem concerning them is even larger. So, but when you study these things and you become familiar with them, then you will see that your iman will grow, inshallah. Your iman will improve. Because now you know who you're worshipping. You know his names, his attributes, his qualities. Because they are from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. You will see that we will not bring anything from outside the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Everything is just Qur'an, Sunnah, according to the understanding of the early generations who did not have any misguidance, you know, prevalent among them. That's it. That's really what it is. Something that we the Muslims have been disconnected from. And due to that, you see the condition that we are in. As far as an ummah, we're being wronged, we're being killed, we're being persecuted, we're being humiliated. Why? Because we have lost touch with the deen of Islam. And it became rituals. Pray five times a day, fast the month of Ramadan, do hajj once in my life. This is Islam. That's not Islam. That's not how the Sahaba had Islam. Islam was everything in their lives. And if you prayed Maghrib with us, what did the Imam say in the Salah? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, my prayer, my sacrifice, my life, and my death are for Allah. Everything. Everything that we do is for Allah. So Islam is then, you know, it governs every aspect of life. So we must learn it. That's just the basic concept, you know. If you want to become a doctor, you have to know what you're doing. You have to learn medicine, you have to learn everything related to that. And it cannot be just mashi halak. Because once you go to the surgery room and you have a patient, you know, between you, and if you don't know the stuff, you will kill someone. You must know what you're doing. And if you want to be Muslims, we must know what the deen teaches. So inshallah, we look forward to seeing all of you again. Inshallah, I know it's a little hot. We can speak to them about the AC, but subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Before you leave, one final request.